I will hear from wrong, and I'll die in the
air. Welcome to our group.
And this ought to show it right here.
Do you or someone you know suffer from depression? If so, please contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Defender 7 Saturday Night Broadcast with your host, Colonel Kimberly Purvis. And I'm your co-host and general of the Defender 7, Bobby Ormsby. Welcome. Always have an important show for y'all to listen to. And I hope everybody tunes into us. And without further ado, I'm going to bring in our colonel, your host, Kimberly Purvis, and our major of Wisconsin, Miss Lorna Munson, a.k.a. Slacker.
Wisconsin here.
Slacker.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
How's everybody
doing? I was kind of a slacker today.
You
it was
are
kind of a screwed up day. So. It was a screwed up day, so I just went with it.
So how's everyone else? How's everyone doing?
Yeah, I've been better. I got Angel Ho over here with me.
Yeah.
Yes, Angel Ho.
So the new toys that I got was pretty cool. It's a survival box. It look the silver thing that's in it. It looks like a it has a fishing line, fishing hooks and stuff. So I was wondering if that's like a retractable little fishing pole. But
no,
I don't have...
The thing I saw in the picture was that saw thing.
Oh, yeah. The Columbia neck tie.
Everything else is black. And orange.
Hey, Kim, silver thing, does it look like a pen?
Okay, there is... Oh, no, it's retractable. It's kind of like it collapses into each other, right? And so I was wondering,
right.
But it's hollow. So I said, well, is it
is
an
it
antenna?
That, is it that thing that looks like an ink pen?
Oh, that is an ink pen with a punch on the other end of it.
Oh.
That's one, that thing you're talking about. That's one of two things that I can think of. It's either a lock-picking device or...
The silver thing?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's either lock-picking or it is part of an antenna.
Well, there's...
The one end of it looked like it could be one of them glass breaker things.
Oh, yeah. That's on the pen.
Yeah, that's the pen.
The pen is on one side. Yeah, the pen is on one side, and the top, that little silver pointy thing, it's sharp as crap, actually. And that's a punch. also on the switchblade that I got, the end of that is a punch for a window. The other thing was that the second picture, it looked like a, I wasn't sure if it was a flint stick or if it was
that
a
looks
knife
like
sharpener.
A flint stick. That looks like a flint stick.
But I thought that was pretty good. I knew that was for, like a chainsaw that you could, you know, you wrap it around something, you put your fingers in the holes, and you pull it back and forth, and it would. I knew that's what that was.
Okay,
so the first
Kim,
thing that came out of my mouth was Colombian necktie.
Kim?
That too?
Is it the wire one?
Yeah.
That's junk. The only thing that's good for is maybe a fucking rabbit snare trap.
Okay.
That don't stop, please?
Those things, those wire ones are junk. Trust me.
Oh, okay. Well, no, like I said, I can always use it for the other purpose.
You're right. But the minute you try, because I've tested them.
Okay.
The first pull, as soon as that wire gets hot to cut a branch, it breaks.
Yeah. Oh, damn.
Wow.
Yep.
Glad I didn't buy one now.
So it's better
on
to use as a garrote.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. Oh, and the 550, the bracelet that has the compass on it, and when you separate to pull it off, to put it on, there's a knife on it, a serrated knife.
There's
on the
a
bracelet.
Flint stick. Is on the inside of that bracelet, is there fishing string, hooks, and weights?
Oh, no, it's not on the, it's not on the, in the bracelet, it's in the box. I put the pictures on in the staff room.
Well, I've been busting my ass all day at work, so fixing everybody's fuck-ups.
Oh, no,
so
just
did
go
everybody
back and
get
look
saved?
At it. It's pretty cool.
Say what?
Did everybody get saved?
He's getting fired.
Pretty much.
Who's getting
but
fired?
The night shift guy is gone.
Oh, wow.
He got fired?
Yep, immediately. And
so was it an accident?
Investigation. Huh?
Was it an accident or was it his fault?
Oh, it was totally his fault because he wasn't back there monitoring anything for the last 3 hours.
Oh, wow.
Oh, he's screwed. He's screwed.
There is an investigation going to be happening. I'm getting pulled into the main office. They're going to be looking at security footage and the whole nine yards. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I've already talked to corporate, plant manager, production manager, safety managers. It's not good.
So, what is it exactly that happened?
He was not doing his job, so he decided to shut down the system. So he pulls these, what we call probes, that measure the liquid on how much chrome reducer, lime, and what we call flock. You got to know the entire breakdown of this shit.
Oh, that's fine, yeah.
So he pulls the probes, but the system, he kept on. He said he shut it off. So it wasn't pumping all of these chemicals into the liquid to take the chromium out. So it was just, all it was doing was overflowing all the tanks into the final discharge out to the city sewer.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I immediately, as soon as I came in, I immediately isolated the system, shut everything down, and I did everything by the book, what I'm supposed to do, called the safety manager, production manager, everybody and their brother, the EPA, the St. Louis City fucking sewer department and water district, and pretty much.
So, but how does it affect? How does it affect the water if it's going in the sewer?
Well, because in every city you have a water treatment plant, right?
Yeah.
So all the water that gets flushed down into the city sewer lines, and it's the same way as your rainwater on the edge of curbs. It goes straight to the sewer, all right? So it goes into these great big pools, and then they treat it and make it potable water.
Ah.
In other words, they're recycling water after they treat it.
Okay,
they make it clean. Now, if any of this chromium gets on the ground, oh, dude, that's a double screwing through the EPA, because it will kill fish. It's a highly cancerous, toxic chemical.
Damn.
Yeah.
But did they catch it all?
Huh?
Were you able to keep it from getting out?
Some got
of your plant?
We don't know how much.
But they should be able to catch it at the next spot, right?
They will be able to catch it because we called them immediately and told them about it. So it's on file. Look, this is what happened. This is what we're doing about it. I ran test after test after test. The total chrome was high numbers, but the hex chrome was low numbers. Well, after my test, I started recycling all this water back through the system again that got screwed up. Then all the pipes were clogged. Then the pump broke down. Pretty much you name it, shit fucking happened. So I've been busting my ass all day to get this shit cleaned up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Is he going to get in trouble, or is he going to just, I mean,
he got
like fired?
As of right now, he's suspended until further notice. Until after the investigation happens, then we will find out how far it goes. He could be fired. He could go to jail. There could be big time.
Well, that's
fine.
What I mean. Are they going to?
Yes,
there
will be repercussions.
Wow.
Good.
So.
What?
Yes.
So is that the same guy that leaves you hanging all the time and never shows up?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
One of them. One of them.
Wow.
So, yeah, pretty much. I mean, it was a messed up situation. And I found all this shit out at exactly 6:45 when I caught it.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Yeah, but how long did he allow it to go? That's the whole thing.
Huh?
How long did he let it go?
Well, I went into the office and started looking at security footage and camera footage. At exactly 5 o'clock, by 5:15, everything was totally green and going out the door.
Oh, wow.
So from 5:15 till 6:45, which could be a couple thousand gallons going out the door.
Wow.
That's how serious this shit is. But enough of that. I'm off work now. I don't want to hear about it. Matter of fact, when I get home, I'm going to get off the phone. I'm going to take a shower. Then I'm going to the bar.
You always get home and get off the phone and go to the bar.
No, yeah. I don't. I go home, take a shower, and go to bed if I've got to work the next day. Tonight,
oh, okay.
I'm getting drunk.
Yeah. As long as you don't have to go to work tomorrow.
Nope. I don't have to go back to work until Wednesday.
Ah, okay. I figured you would.
The thing is about this, if I recommend everybody, all our listeners, rent the movie Aaron Brockovich and watch it. That chemical that killed the entire towns is what I work with on a daily basis.
Damn.
Yes. Because if that gets into the water supply,
hopefully the EPA takes it serious.
They take it very, very serious. I mean, it could kill animal life.
Your companies pay them off.
No, our company is not like that, man. Our company is a family-owned company. It is a multi-billion-dollar worldwide corporation. So I will not say the name of the company on the air due to, you know, repercussions.
Yeah, yeah.
So it is being taken care of. It's being handled the right way.
That's good.
So I did my job. So
that's good.
I did what I had to do.
Good deal.
Because I sure in the fuck wasn't going to take the fall for this one.
you can
I ain't going to jail or prison for nobody.
Nope.
I don't give a shit. But, yeah, I got it all cleaned up, what I could, and it's better now. So it only took me 12 hours to do it, but hey.
Time to ask for a raise.
Yeah, right. Well, I basically talked to the safety manager and said, how about a pay raise now? But this ain't part of the line, so, which you got to understand that whole conversation too, but which I'm not going to get into because it's way too long, and you're talking contracts that were already signed and all that bullshit, so.
Yeah.
But I tried. Hey, but I did get a pat on the back from the plant manager and production manager and the safety manager. I got a pat on the back.
Well, good deal.
At a boy. Yeah, right.
That a boy.
Oh,
you
good
blow
boy.
Blow it out your ass.
You
can shove it up your ass with that.
You good boy,
on the back.
You.
You did
good
your job.
Boy, you.
You did
You're
your job.
You're such a good boy.
Yeah, I know. I am such a good boy. I'm older than all of them.
Yeah,
that's
you're
what's
older
that
than
part.
All of us.
Oh, bullshit. You're the oldest. I'm just, no. Then it's Lorna.
Oh,
then
man.
It's me. Then it's
no,
him.
No, you just admitted you're the oldest.
I'm older than the plant manager, production manager, and safety manager.
That's not what you said before. You said you're the oldest.
Oh, whatever. Whatever. Let's not get into it.
So, anywho, there's been a lot of natural disasters going off. The first one is Haiti was hit with a 6.9 or 7.2 earthquake, and now and it killed 225 people plus, and now they got a hurricane barreling through right after the earthquake. So they're going to be dealing with some shit this week. And then in Alaska, three of the volcanoes in Alaska have been erupting for the last week straight. And it's up the Aleutian Islands out there on the chain of islands right outside of Alaska. And it's part of the Ring of Fire of the volcanoes. I don't want to call it a Ring of Fire. It's actually a horseshoe. And so the Ring of Fire starts in Chile, goes all the way up the west coast of America, through Canada, Alaska, shoots across, and goes on the other side, and back around. Well, right now, the other side of the Ring of Fire is on threat level orange right now, because of the constant eruptions from those three volcanoes. It can actually cause a trigger, it can trigger the other volcanoes to start erupting. But two of the volcanoes on the Aleutian Island chain, it's low levels of ash and steam and lava. You know, it's not a lot, so... But they're still, they still have the whole area on threat level orange for that. So, and they said nobody really lives there. So no one's going to get hurt by the eruptions itself, which is a good thing. Hold on a second. Well, thanks, got it. My internet just crapped a bit again. Are you guys still having problems with your internet?
I never, I don't have internet, just my phone.
Oh, okay. Well, sometimes it happens on my phone, but on my laptop, the internet will just shut off just because it wants to. So it's not unusual for that area to have volcanic eruptions, but not to have all three in Alaska go at the same time. That's not really common. It's not cool either. So so they're monitoring that whole entire area. And what set it off, they had, so Haiti had the 7.2 earthquake and Alaska had the 6.9 Saturday morning. And that's when all of, not this Saturday, last Saturday, and that's what set off the volcanic eruption. So it's looking pretty kind of hairy, you know, with all these natural disasters and shit like that. And then, hold on a second.
Natural.
Huh?
I don't think they're natural.
Oh, you mean the earthquakes? Yeah, see,
right.
I mean, you can't force a volcanic eruption. That you can't do. But you can manipulate the weather, earthquakes, and things like that.
Why can't you interrupt a volcano?
Huh?
Why can't you interrupt a volcano?
No. You mean cause one?
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to cause one. It's kind of hard to cause. Well, the way to cause it is an earthquake.
Yeah.
So, what I mean is you can't manipulate a volcano to erupt. That's not the way, because that takes, like, your seismic activity, which would be an earthquake, also the thermal vents and all that crap. Oh, shit. My computer's going
to
go dark.
Well, what I'm saying is they figured out a way to screw with the weather. So
no, true.
They didn't figure out a way to do something with that stuff, too.
Well, like I said, the only way to do it, really, honest to God, is to cause an earthquake. if you cause a big enough earthquake, it can trigger volcanic eruptions. And that's what's happening.
Right.
You know, normally when you have an earthquake, it has a tsunami. Well, guess what? Now they're having earthquakes. And so yellow, and I found the was awful thing about, hold on a second, about Yellowstone. And, well, now I'm pressing. Hold on a second. USGS is being a pain in the ass. Yellowstone has had 1,000 earthquakes this year. It's gone past, you had almost, they had almost 400 in 2 weeks. And
wow.
Like I said, you know, yeah, we've gone, I've been keeping it, I get all of these, notifications from someone who monitors Yellowstone, and it's pretty wild. But I keep trying.
If Yellowstone ever erupts, that super volcano erupts, 3/4 of the U.S. will be gone, and the planet will change forever.
Well, we won't be gone, but half of the U.S. will be covered in too much ash. The other quarter is where it goes from Nebraska all the way to D.C., and
right.
They'll have like 5 millimeters to maybe 50 millimeters of ash. Not a whole lot,
right.
But it's when you get up there. But here's the problem. All of the food is in the Midwest.
Well, aircraft vehicles will, all their airflow will be blocked. Airplanes will crash.
Oh, yeah.
Cars will not start if you have, because your radiators will be covered, all your filters will be covered in ash. Nothing, your air conditioners won't work. Until you get them clean, everything will be messed up. Everything.
Oh, yeah. Water will be poisoned from the ash and the toxic gases. It'll settle into the water supplies, the lakes. Fish will, I mean, it will be a catastrophic event. Now,
yep.
Now
what if you
in the garage? Does the ash still get into it then, or what?
Do what now?
If your vehicle is parked in a garage.
Oh, no. No, it's fine.
Yeah, you'll be all right.
I always park my
garage
in
the
garage.
Yeah, but the only time you have to worry is if you're driving it, because it'll get sucked in. The ash can get sucked into the motor, the intake and all that. That's where it jacks all that stuff up. But if it's just parked in your driveway, it's, nothing's going to happen to it. All you got to do
right.
is, you know,
hose
don't
it down.
Use a water hose to clean it. Don't hose it down. It'll turn to cement. Treat it like you would snow. Use a broom or...
Oh, yeah, before. The weight of the ash
yeah.
to collapse the...
Now, you should get it off of your, if, to say your car is outside. The ash, and it's a corrosive, and it can eat the paint and stuff on your car. But
well, that's no biggie in Wisconsin. That's all vehicles around here from all the salt on the road.
True, and that's the biggest problem around that area. Now, here's the other thing: with the amount of earthquakes that Yellowstone's having. Right there. Depending on who you talk to, the USGS says, there's nothing to worry about. Yeah, you know what government agency ever tells the truth? None. look what they're saying right now about COVID. Look what they're saying about COVID. Not the USGS, but and like the WHO, the CDC, they're all lying. So
right.
Something, it'll never cross over from animal to human. Okay. How do you think you get Lyme disease? You get bit by a tick.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like, and brown recluse spiders can cause cellulitis, which can go into necrotizing fasciitis. And so, I mean, so when the reason why the USGS is not going to say, yeah, look, we're on a high alert right now, it would cause sheer pandemonium and chaos.
Oh, yeah.
In the Midwest.
Yeah.
Now, they are saying that, yeah, they're thinking Yellowstone will erupt. Here's the thing. They're saying only 30% of the caldera is eruptible magma. Okay.
Bullshit.
So it wouldn't be,
I call bullshit.
I know. I do. Oh, I call bullshit. Yeah. But
I've been to Yellowstone, and I've seen how big that cauldron is. It is massive.
Yeah.
Miles wide.
Okay, here's the thing. From one end of Yellowstone Lake to the other, it's 35 miles.
Exactly.
Of the volcano. And then it's 35 miles one way and 45 miles deep the other direction. There's two calderas under Yellowstone now. Not one, but two. The other one is the size of L.A. County in California, which is why it went from half of America would be covered by ash to three-quarters of America.
It will be something that nobody has ever witnessed.
No.
Ever in their lifetimes.
No, because the last time was 600,000 years ago. Now, I like how they say it'll never happen again in our lifetime. How can you say that? You cannot say something will never happen. We can't control. Well, actually, you know, like I said, they're starting to manipulate things, but you know, you can't say it'll never happen. That's the reason why with the Ring of Fire. Now, if the volcanoes on the Ring of Fire, they all simultaneously go because of a massive earthquake, that's not going to affect Yellowstone because Yellowstone is nowhere near the Ring of Fire. But...
Okay, y'all, have a blessed night. And
hi,
I'll
home.
Talk to y'all soon. I'm home.
Yeah, okay.
He's got to get to the bar. He's got the shakes.
I don't know about that, but I don't have the shakes, but I'll tell you right now, my whistle is pretty dry. So, good night, all.
Good night.
As far as what could make Yellowstone go, just say, what if the San Andreas Fault goes, right? Massive, like the whole thing. Then yes, that can kind of hit the other fault line that goes up. Yes, that, I mean, I'm not saying it would, but it's a domino effect. All of it is, you know. And that's why they're worried about the San Madrid Fault line, the one that goes from Louisiana straight up. I think it comes all the way up to Kansas. I'm not sure. But I know it goes up Tennessee, Louisiana, all the way straight up. And if the San Madrid Fault line went, it would pretty much almost divide America in half. That's how wide it would make it. But the last time they had an earthquake there was, I think, 50 years ago. I'm not 100% sure. It was a pretty big one, but nothing, you know, tremendous. We have earthquakes here in Kansas, for crying out loud. And we're not on a major fault line. We're on a small one. And we had 15 earthquakes in a week.
Oh, wow.
But here's the thing. They all happened in the same spot, which is why a lot of people think it's been manipulated, because it was, we had them, we could feel the house shake, and it was like, you know, if you're in an old house and you got wood floors and you jump up and you land, when you hit the floor, it'll kind of shake the house, that noise it makes. That's what these were making. And the funny thing is the epicenter was on government property. So all of them. And the weird thing is they happened same time last year, same month of November. So yeah, I call bullshit on that one too. But so anyway, just had the idea to go over some of the volcanoes, like Mount St. Helens when that went off in the 80s. I don't remember it. I was only 11 when it happened. I think it was the 81 or 83 or something like that.
I don't remember.
It was the early 80s, that's all I know.
I remember my grandma going out there shortly after, and she brought home some ash.
Some ash?
Yeah, they were selling little vials of ash in remembrance of Mount St. Helens.
Oh, my God. Hey, I went to Sunset Crater in Arizona, and I got some lava. You're probably not supposed to have that, but I got it. I mean, I don't have a whole lot.
Right.
I got, like, two little rocks, two little pieces, like paperweights, which is pretty cool. And, you know, but, hey, they made a campground around it. What the hell? So, I figured we'd go over some of the deadliest volcanic eruptions, where they were at, when, and all that cool stuff. So the biggest one was in 1985. There was 25,000 casualties, and the volcanic eruption was a mud flow, and that's actually pretty deadly when you get that, because of, it makes, like, they call it a slurry with the ash and the other, I have to look it up, what it's called. But it's like, look here, USGS, they're listening to me. Seriously. Okay. So that volcano was in Colombia. It was a stratovolcano. Oh, and it just erupted again this year.
Which one?
The one I was telling you, the Nevado del Ruiz. The deadliest one was there in 1985, and it killed 25,000 people. Well, guess what? It just erupted again this year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But come on. This is being my, I'm telling you, my internet's being a bitch. I'm sorry. It was July 14th of this year. I mean, July 21st. Which in Spanish, for the love of God. I cannot read it in Spanish.
Come on. We need something to laugh about.
Yeah, Observatorio Volcanológico. Yeah, I am not reading it in Spanish. It was hit by, there is some English in here, so just bear with me. They had a higher number of earthquakes and larger ones before the eruption. And so, it's not saying how big the, it's at alert level 3 right now. It's a yellow right now for that one. And the 3 upper ones in Alaska, and then the ones coming down on the other trenches, is it orange. The next one's red. So it's green. I believe it's green, yellow, orange, and red, I believe. Well, that's pretty bad. And if you go on the USGS site and you could put up most recent volcanic eruptions, and it'll show you, and it shows you how many volcanoes and all that cool stuff. I mean, it has had a lot of thermal energy, and see, that's what's going on in Yellowstone, and that's what's why I keep getting all of these. I subscribe to their YouTube channel. And there's a lot of thermal vents opening up, a lot of dead trees, and like I said, that one geyser has gone up 24 times this year. The thing is, like, I'm sure everyone's heard of Old Faithful, right? You guys know Old Faithful up there in Yellowstone?
Yeah.
Okay, you know how it works, right?
Something with the heat, the underwater, the ground, I don't remember.
Yeah, okay. So think of it as a pocket of water under the ground, right? And then there's a little spout where it could come up. Well, underneath the pocket of water is magma. And what happens is it heats up the water, like it boils it, and it causes the pressure to build up, and it spews every 90 minutes. Like, that's why they call it Old Faithful, like clockwork. Every single 90 minutes, that bitch will blow. Well, this one other geyser never goes, which means more magma is coming to the surface. And that's when you get the sulfur. It gets into the drinking water, your lakes, you know, and it also gets into the roots of the trees, and that's what kills the trees. And then your smaller animals will die first, your birds, your squirrels, little shit like that, because they're closer to the ground. Well, that's what's happening. And so with all of that, and then they're going to say, don't worry. But I'm not saying be panicked and paranoid. God, no. Don't do that. Just be prepared. You know, and if Yellowstone did go up as a super eruption, go watch the movie Yellowstone Super Volcano. It's on YouTube. It's about two and a half hours, whatever. It's a documentary movie. And they made it. They've used other footage from other eruptions, and they explain it a lot more. And it says what can happen. It's not but when.
One of the super volcanoes that did erupt that y'all can research is Mount Vesuvius in Italy.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to. That's the one for Pompeii, right? From Vesuvius. Yeah, that was in 79 AD. And
yep.
That was
but,
by pyroclastic flows. The big gray plumes.
But look how far Mount Vesuvius was from the city. And then look at the area of effect. And I think it was something like almost 200 miles. But then you have to look at what it did to the world, too. So I think that year it was actually noted down that there was no summer for the 2 years after the eruption.
At the beginning of October, a small cluster of seismic activities was recorded by Mount Vesuvius, and an earthquake had hit. A 3.6 earthquake had hit, and then a 3.4, and all of that, and then it blew. But I'm trying to see how far, like you said. It doesn't say. Well, fine. Okay. They're also waiting. They said if there's Mount Vesuvius, and then there's the other one that's close to Mount Vesuvius as well. The smaller volcano that's by over there in Italy. It's not dormant. That's the whole Vesuvius is. It's listed as dormant, but I'm trying to find. It doesn't. We'll get there. So, Montpellier in Martinique in 1902 had pyroclastic flows, and it killed over 30,000 people from its devastation. And you can't outrun a pyroclastic flow, the clouds. Once they come out, the aftershock and then everything else, you can't outrun it. And I forgot how fast they said it moves.
Sometimes three times the speed of sound.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so it's pretty damn fast. So you're not going to outrun, when I say outrun it, I mean by a vehicle. You're not going to. Krakatoa in 1883 caused a massive tsunami from that eruption. Let's see if it's going to cooperate. Actually, in Krakatoa erupted last year as well, but nothing compared to what it did before. Let's see. Yeah, it experienced a major caldera collapse around 535 CE, forming a 7-kilometer-wide caldera ringed by three islands. It's underwater, except for the three surrounding islands.
I'm sorry, it's 450 miles per hour at 1,000 degrees Celsius.
Yeah,
that's
so Now, I know it will level buildings, trees, and stuff like that. If you were to say anywhere there was a cave in a mountainside,
it wouldn't help you because what happens is that it would superheat the air, and that air would create a vacuum that would suck all the other air out and transfer it with the hot air. So you'll still breathe that in. At 1,000 degrees Celsius, most stuff.
No, I mean, it won't level land, right? Like, if there's a small mountainside or something, it doesn't level actual land.
No.
Huh?
No.
Okay.
Only, it acts like a strong wind, so it might erode the surface area and trees, knock trees down, blow trees down.
Oh, yeah.
Blow down buildings. But, lava now, it'll... land. But see, the thing about that pyroclastic cloud is that it's moving so fast that there's no possible way to outrun it. And then once you're caught into it, most stuff, your body would flash burn within seconds.
Yeah, it'd be what? Millisecond? I mean, it would be...
Yeah.
It wouldn't take very long.
Right. It'd be nothing. Now, see, you were talking about Yellowstone. Now, the volcano in Yellowstone, now it has a cauldron of 241 miles in circumference. Now, when that thing blows, the pyroclastic cloud will actually stretch across the United States and down into South America and up into Canada.
Well, I mean, the pyroclastic flow is going to go straight up, but then it'll spread after that, the ash and everything else. Because, I was saying, I don't know if you... They found a second caldera, and that's probably why it's so big now. So now they got, and if it combines, then they have to worry about how much, pressure and how much is eruptible and stuff. And I don't believe them when they say only 30%.
It could be 30%. It could be 10%. It could be 80%. But whatever happens is going to be devastating. And then you got to figure if it blows like they think, it's going to be a stratovolcano, which means that it'll shoot up into the stratosphere.
Yeah.
And what it's going to do, it's going to spread ash all around the world.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. It'll take 5 hours, they said. Now, if it's a VEI-8, that's going to go, it'll be the ash will spread,
mm-hmm.
and then all the toxic gas and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that will go all the way around the world.
Right. Right.
So, let's see.
Well,
you think
in the last 5 years, you know, with all the volcanoes that erupted, it's something like, it was estimated 221 billion tons of noxious fumes were let out in the atmosphere.
Yeah. That's why they're worried about the Ring of Fire right now. It's at a threat level orange. Because 3 of Alaska's volcanoes have been erupting for a week. Now it's low.
Yeah.
It's low levels of ash. It's not major, but they said it can trigger the other volcanoes to erupt.
Well, it's not only that. See, now the threat level color code is only for aviation. Now what they have else is a threat level number. So usually there's a numeric number that goes with it. I don't remember.
Three.
I think it's 0-6.
It's a 3 now.
Yeah, so 3 means once it gets to 4 and 5, that's when you really got to worry, because those major eruptions can cause other volcanoes to erupt. Or it could cause one massive volcano to erupt. It just depends.
Yeah, and then it could also trigger earthquakes.
Right.
Let's see, Tambora, Indonesia, that one was in 1815, and it killed 92,000 people, but it killed them because of starvation.
Yep.
And they had nothing.
Yep.
And that's what would happen in America if Yellowstone goes, or even if, I don't even think Mount St. Helens is that massive of a volcano to cause that much damage.
No, it's not.
But people,
what you could research like, I think the Roman articles, because it talks about I think it was like 2 years without, or a year without summer, and it was because of a volcano eruption. Crops were dying, people were dying of hunger, and things like that.
Which one?
So, I think it was the Roman articles, but I don't remember exactly. But there was quite a few of them. Europe, Asia, Africa, they all had the same kind of things, and they all documented that. But you can research it and figure it and see what happened. And I think the volcano that caused that was actually in Africa that erupted, and it caused the widespread famine throughout the Roman Empire.
Oh, okay. The volcanoes in Iceland had thousands of earthquakes in Iceland every day. They're having tons of earthquakes every day. And recently, this past week, and their volcano erupted. And the last time everybody died of starvation, well, not everybody, 9,000 people roughly died of starvation.
Yep.
And that was in 1783. Mount Pinatubo is another big one, and it caused a lot of roof damage and a lot of roof collapses. And that's why you got to kind of worry. If you have a flat roof, well, I don't see how they put a flat roof anywhere near a volcano, but 1993 was the last time it erupted.
But you got to think about an earthquake, what it does. It's just rock. It moves the earth. Now, if you do any study on it, what they'll tell you is that during that shifting and stuff, the ground will actually become like a liquid. So it comes like a oobleck fluid, if you know what that is. Non-Newtonian. But anyway, what happens is when a solid acts like a liquid, so it's part of like fluid dynamics. You shake it enough, it acts like a fluid. And so, you know, your foundations become destabilized, or you know, other things kind of stabilize, buildings come crashing down. So, you know, I look into that because it can happen. And like I said, we're in South Carolina.
So,
we have our...
So what they're saying is a volcano that's located along your subduction zones, those
mm-hmm.
have the potential to be highly explosive because of the subduction plate.
Yeah.
And that's where the bigger problems are. There's
yeah.
about almost 1,600 volcanoes
mm-hmm.
That they know of. There are some
mm-hmm.
underwater in the oceans that, you know, that don't go.
Yep.
But 866 of them. Huh?
Well, look at Hawaii a couple of years ago. It cracked in half and just spewed lava for, I don't know, a month, 2 months.
Kilauea?
Cut
yeah, Kilauea. It was, where's it at? Well, that was the last devastating one in Kilauea. Well, let me look it up. Because falling rock got people there. But, yeah,
yeah.
it was quite a while. And,
mm-hmm.
honestly, that's how the Hawaiian Islands were formed anyway, was from
yeah.
the volcano.
Yeah, well, they part of the fire chain, so.
Do what?
They're part of the Ring of Fire chain.
Yeah.
So if you count it, the Ring of Fire actually stretches from the Himalayas through China. Through the South China Sea, the Philippines, Indonesia,
yeah.
even down into...
And
comes
it
back
goes
up
all the way around from South America.
Yep, South America, up through North America, through Alaska and the Arctic, even through Russia, and then back to the Himalayas.
Yeah, the... like I was saying earlier, the Aleutian Islands,
yep.
that's where three of the volcanoes were at. But
that island chain was made by volcanoes, too.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. They're volcanic islands.
So far this year, there's been 12 VEI-2s all around the world, and
yep.
I'm trying to see the last, a VEI-5 was in 2011,
mm-hmm.
and in 1991, there was a 5 and a 6, but most
yep.
of them are all VEI-2s, and that's just
yeah.
like, no, my bad, there's a whole ton of those at 2s, there's been some 3s. And a couple 4s. But that's like you category 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 for hurricanes. Same thing with tornadoes. Everything has a measurement. What I was looking to see, what
well,
two volcanoes that was.
You know, there's like 50 to 70 volcanoes at risk every year.
There's quite a few. Pinatubo. Was a 6, and that was in 1991, and it went for 7. So it went. Hold on a second. It was just one day, and then the Barren Island in India, it went for 7 days. Some of these have gone for 2 weeks straight. And Mount St. Helens went again in 91, and it
uh-huh.
was a 3. Let me look. I want to see what the measurements are, or how they rate the volcanoes. Is it damage or how much magma and stuff comes out?
I think it's by eruption potential, the kinetic energy.
That's what I was. I don't want a video. What? That's the gas. It is. Ah, okay. Let me see here. Okay. Yeah, by the eruption, the eruptions can don't you start this, see? the scales range from a 0 or 1, which are the most peaceful. Small lava eruptions are 2, 3, and 4, and those are small to medium. That can happen maybe once a year. Number 5 on the scale, they happen about every 10 years. Number 6, VEI 6s happen about every 100. 7, they say, is about every 1,000 years, and they're very destructive. And a VEI 8, they said, occurs about, I love this range, 73,000 years to 1,000,000 years. So, yeah, that's how they measure those. But they're so devastating that it could tremendously affect the Earth's population. And it's called the volcanic winter. And I couldn't think of what it was called earlier, but that's from all the ash. And from Mount Vesuvius, when it went up, when it erupted, it actually cooled the atmosphere by a couple degrees. And they said Yellowstone could put us into another ice age, actually. I don't know. I don't know how all of that works.
What it does is it sends ash up into the stratosphere, and that ash circumvents the world, and it blocks sunlight from getting down through it.
Okay.
And so until
it
settles down, then what ends up happening is that the world cools off. So it's kind of a world-ending volcano. At least life is
weak. Yeah, it can.
You know.
Yeah.
So, I say some of the most dangerous volcanoes in the world: Mount Etna, Sicily, Reykjavik, Iceland, Timanfaya, Lanzarote, Mount Vesuvius in Italy. Popocatépetl.
When was the last time Kilimanjaro?
Kilimanjaro. I don't know about that one, but I know Mount Fuji.
I mean, it's
Japan.
A big one, but I don't know if it's dormant or.
I don't know.
Hold on one second. Okay, so basically, when a volcano erupts, the explosiveness is measured, and the amount of matter ejected from the volcano, and how tall the clouds are. And that's how they measure it. The debris, like ash, gas, and rock, they combine that all together. And that's known by the term dense rock equivalent, or DRE. And, that was the end of that. Okay. I'm trying to find these really good. Sometimes they're really vague on these. So there's different types of eruptions. And a Strombolian eruption, it occurs when gas bubbles cause lava to burst and explode through the volcanic vent. During that type of eruption, lava explosions occur every few minutes for a series of intervals, and the burst of lava reach hundreds of meters in height, making the shooting capacity far and wide. So it's not the type where, like, your pyroclastic clouds go straight up, the ash, and then the lava just kind of goes outside. That kind shoots up in the air. A volcanian eruption, those are small, violent explosions of magma. The force behind the explosions are so powerful, material blasted from the volcano can travel at speeds of 800 miles an hour. And the magma can also rise several kilometers high once it leaves the volcano. Those can last for days, months, or years. Wow, I didn't know they had any that did that.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see how I'm butchering this one. Sertian Eruption combines lava or magma with water to create a hydromagmatic explosion. And those are undersea volcanoes. So, and they grow large enough to break through the water surface, and it'll mix the hot lava with the water to produce explosive steam. Steam, ash, and tephra, or materials from an eruption, are shot out of the volcanic vent during that type of eruption. And they don't even know, honestly, how many volcanoes we have that's in the ocean. I mean, there are tons of them, but they don't ever erupt. Hawaiian eruptions occur when lava spurts through the volcano's vent or through fissures or fractures that act as vents. That's the other thing about Yellowstone. From the earthquakes, they're getting fractures in the ground. So, and that's also not cool. So the fountain of lava that explodes in a Hawaiian eruption can span hundreds of feet in the air, causing lava to stream and flow down the volcano's sides. Sometimes, and it oozes. They say you can actually outpace some lava flows. It's hot, but you can walk faster than a lava flow on some of them. A Plinian eruption, the Mount St. Helens eruption in 1980, was a Plinian eruption. And they're the most violent types of volcanic eruptions, with ash and gas exploding through the vent of the volcano miles into the air. And those eruptions are so forceful that the energy has the potential to blow the tops off mountains. I just answered my question. Viscous magma flows are also the characteristics of this type of eruption. With the one in Mount St. Helens, it blew the side of Mount St. Helens out. That's how forceful that one was when it went. A phreatic eruption is also known as steam blast. And there are eruptions of explosive steam. Instead of blasting new magma, only spread out fragments of solid rock that's pre-existing in the volcano. And they don't have an example of that one, so. A Vesuvian eruption is gas and ash are violently blasted into the air, causing an explosion that results in a cauliflower-looking cloud over the volcano. And then a Pelion eruption, quantities of gas, ash, lava, and other fragments are exploded through the center of the volcano, and it can cause lava avalanches that can move as fast as 100 miles an hour. So, like I said, there is no outrunning any of it. And there was the one question that I had, and I've been looking for the answer and haven't been able to find it. Just for argument's sake, if Yellowstone erupted, hold on a second, I got to type fast. How far would you be able to feel it? You know what I'm saying? Like the aftershock or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Not the ash, but to actually feel the eruption. The power of the volcano erupting is what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? Like an earthquake.
Tremors.
If San Andreas went, we wouldn't feel it here. But if Yellowstone erupted, would we be able to feel the ground shake is what I'm saying, as a super volcano?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
What I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, that's what I couldn't get it out right. damn.
Absolutely. People probably feel that shock wave around the world.
Here's when Krakatoa erupted, they could feel it in Africa.
Yep.
So yeah, the only thing they could compare it to is Krakatoa, because nobody was around when Yellowstone erupted 600,000 years ago. Nobody was around. So the sound emitted when Krakatoa blew up was heard 3,000 miles away, and measurable effects circled the planet four times. While the particular explosive character of this event may have amplified its sound effect, still one can reasonably expect that a supervolcano would exceed it. So pretty much, if Yellowstone exploded, erupted as a supervolcano, you could probably hear it all the way around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much. Wow. And it says the explosion of Krakatoa in August of 1883. And they heard it as far as Rodriguez Island and Perth in Australia. And its pressure wave went around the globe seven times. So, and Krakatoa was nothing compared to Yellowstone, I guess. Someone asked a question. If Yellowstone erupted, will U.S. be a superpower? No.
No.
There will be nothing left. America will not be America anymore.
So if Yellowstone erupts, scientists predict 5 billion people will die from it.
How many?
I mean, did it? 5 billion.
Honestly, you think that many?
Yeah, that's what they think, that many. If Yellowstone erupts, 5 billion people. Because think about what's going to happen. So you, between the United States, Mexico, and Canada, we probably average, I would say, you know, 900 mil. So we're right at a billion people, you know, just on our little area now. Now you're talking about China, where more people are, but the average population right now is 7.9 billion people, and yeah, it's going to affect the world. If it erupts, it's a worldwide devastation. Because all right, so because once the eruption happens, consider the United States, parts of Canada, and Mexico gone, obliterated.
Oh,
it might not
that.
Be instant. It might be within the first month. You know what I mean? So then what's going to happen is that cloud is going to encompass the world. The earth's going to freeze. You're going to lose crops, no food. People are going to be fighting for a little bit they got. And so
wow,
out of that, you know, three quarters of the population is gone within the first 2 years.
Okay. This is according to the USGS. Another one of their, it says, not about 90,000 people would die instantly surrounding,
yep,
Yellowstone. There would be about 10 feet of ash 1,000 miles away. So remember,
yep,
Lorna, when we found all that information, it said it would be 5 millimeters. No, it's going to be 10 feet of ash.
Yep.
I believe we were like 1,200 miles away, and Lorna, you are, how far did you say you were? About, a little over 1,000?
From Yellowstone. From Yellowstone?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was about 1,000 miles, I believe.
So
now, that's just within the first eruption. So, you know, you think, you know,
true,
as you get away, it's going to be raining ash. It's going to be polluting the sea. It's going to be polluting the land. It's going to, you know, kill crops. It's going to turn the ground acidic.
Well,
this
gets ugly. This gets ugly.
But look at the smoke from the Canada fires.
Yeah.
Well, they said it was like 1,000 miles away, and I couldn't see across the lake, and they're saying it's from the Canadian fires.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, those fires are bad.
Yeah.
So,
but then I hear again that they say that they're only a mile from the border, so I don't know.
Yellowstone erupted, one, it would cause another ice age, and it would cause global wars because of remaining resources. They'd be fighting for it. So this is Montana, Idaho, Wyoming would be pretty much flattened from the pyroclastic clouds. And then it would go into Canada.
Yeah.
Definitely would go into Canada.
I think if you drew a circle in the center of Yellowstone and then you stretched out 1,000 miles and made a big old circle, consider that gone. Instantaneous.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. They said it would cost $3 trillion.
It would cost what?
$3 trillion in damage. I would cost more than that, in all honesty. I mean, if you're like 3/4 of America would be covered in 10 feet of ash, I mean.
Well, it's not so much the initial blast, it's all the after effects. So you got ash in the atmosphere that's blocking the sun. You got, it falling back to earth, including water.
This is the places they said would be the safest away. Los Angeles, New York, and Miami, and probably Maine. You know, that's how far it would go.
Yeah.
And the volcanic ash fallout of more than 39.4 inches would blanket Yellowstone's immediate vicinity in Wyoming, Montana, and Utah. And the severity of the blast decreases farther out, and it says, but it extends to Canada, Mexico, and the whole, and the East Coast. So,
yeah.
And I didn't know Mauna Loa was the largest volcano.
Yeah.
But the one that could destroy the world is Yellowstone.
Yeah. But if you have enough of them, enough volcanic eruptions, they could. Now, they're talking about, I think there's like an asteroid that's 1/4 mile wide that's supposed to hit us in 2029.
Yeah.
I haven't really studied on it. It's like 2029.
Yeah, we did a
there's
thing
like
on asteroids.
One in 650 chance. Now, that's going to be devastating because if you think about kinetic energy and potential energy and, what it does. But not only that, it's the after effects. Everything that happens, there's always cause and effect. So if that volcano erupts, there's going to be something that affects. It's going to affect a lot of things. And a lot of those effects are going to be in the ecology.
Oh, how big did you say that the asteroid was?
It was like 1/4 mile wide or something like that.
It's 1/2 mile wide, and it's called Didymos, and it's supposed to approach Earth next year.
Yeah.
Next October.
Yep.
But
if you think about it, physicists say that anything over 1 kilometer has the potential of wiping out life on Earth.
Have you guys seen the movie Greenland?
Yeah.
That like an asteroid hitting, it hit Florida, hit Tampa, Florida, and they felt it in Knoxville. I think that's where they were at, was Knoxville. Yeah. The aftershock. But they said there was another asteroid, and then it just ended up, flittering out. But they're saying a killer asteroid's hitting the Earth, but who knows what they'll do. Anything like all the movies, shoot it down. But, and there's no escaping that. You can't. There's no way to escape an asteroid. But they said there's a little over 2,000 asteroids out there in space.
Okay.
with how they're coming over tomorrow.
No, his phone died.
Of course.
Oh.
He never prepared.
So, yeah, they're planning on doing a dark mission. Hold on. A dark mission? Is what it was called? My computer just moved. My little thing. Oh, here it is. NASA has scheduled its DART mission, D-A-R-T mission, for a July a launch of this year. And it will test NASA's strategy of slamming a half-a-ton spacecraft built by Johns Hopkins Applied Physics Lab into the approaching killer asteroid. Oh, so the same thing as pretty much Armageddon, that movie, and all the other ones. So they're planning to take its asteroid-shattering spacecraft 7 million miles from Earth. The refrigerator-sized spacecraft will approach Didymos. Wow. So by October of next year, we'll see what happens. We'll see if the world's still here. You guys want to discuss anything else?
Do reindeer really know how to fly?
No.
They do here.
Well, I'll finish off this, the USGS about the volcanoes. So the 10 most active volcanoes is the one in Russia, Pili, Martinique, Cotopaxi in Ecuador, Katla, Iceland, the one in Costa Rica, Hecla, Iceland, the big volcanic field there, Ibusuki in Japan, and Taupo, New Zealand. Those are the most active volcanoes. And Indonesia has the most active volcanoes. They got more than one. It's pretty sad. The Philippines have multiple volcanoes. And I can't pronounce any of them. So except for Mount Pinatubo. That's the only one that I can pronounce. Or Hibok. But there's a bunch. And the Philippines actually has 10 volcanoes, by the way. And let's see. I'm just looking for more bullshit, so we're fine. That's all. We went over all of that, the types of eruptions. We went over all of this. And we went over the VEI 1 through 5 and all that cool stuff. That's it. That's all. That's all she wrote.
A lot of great information, though.
85 volcanoes erupt a year. Pretty much every year. And more than 800 million people live within 60 miles of an active volcano. Do what? I couldn't hear her. She cut out.
How many erupted this year so far?
So far, 43 volcanoes are still erupting this year. Continuous eruptions, 43. of 3 months of erupting or more. And a majority of them are from Chile all the way up, you know, all the way up until you hit Mexico. All of those, the one in Iceland. So pretty much the Ring of Fire has had volcanoes erupting continuously for 3 months. So all the ones going down Asia and the Indian Ocean, every one of those in the Ring of Fire have been going off since May 31st. It's still going. The one in Indonesia, the one in Russia, has been going since April 3rd. The one in Iceland has been going since January, December of last year. Merapi, it's still going. Damn. San Agay, Ecuador, that damn volcano has been going off since March 26th of 2019. And it hasn't stopped. Wow. Oh, my bad. It stopped June 24th of this year. That's how long it erupted.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, they got some that's going back as far back as 2015 that finally stopped erupting in June of this year. Holy shit. But, yeah. The Ring of Fire has definitely got their volcanoes are just continuous. But there's about 20 volcanoes actively erupting on any particular day. So every single day, 20 volcanoes are erupting. Mm-hmm. And 40 to 50 of them with continuing eruption, which means it doesn't stop. It just continues. Wow. And you can get any of this information at the Smithsonian Institution National Museum of Natural History Global Volcanism Program. So just go to the Smithsonian. Like I said, we like to put out all information of, you know, government websites. We don't like using Wikipedia. So, but, yeah. Anywho. Oh, where would I get those lithium batteries? The little round ones? Like, they look like a regular, huh?
What are you talking about?
Oh, that flashlight that I got, it has a pulse on it and stuff, and it they didn't put the damn battery in it, and so now I got a flashlight with no freaking battery. But yeah, assholes. But it's those little cylinder batteries, so it's probably about an inch long, and I got to get a battery, and I don't know where the hell to get those. So it sucks. Now I got to find out where to get it. And I have no idea. So. But anywho, that's all I got. Did Bobby disappear again?
Free beer.
Free beer.
No, I'm here.
Okay.
He waits for that.
Dad, why is your grill still?
Yeah. Did you hear about? So, you know, since we left Afghanistan, it's been taken back over by the Taliban.
Yeah, and a lot more is going on over there now.
Mozari Sharif, the Taliban took it over. Kandahar, has been taken over by the Taliban. So, like I said, pretty much fucking everything that our military has accomplished is gone. And now they're sending 3,000 troops back to help get the ambassadors out.
It's a circus.
Stupid. Yeah, well, fucking ridiculous. Oh, and by the way, if you celebrate religious holidays, if you remember 9/11 and, you know, participate in type of a memorial service, if you think that Trump won the election, and what was the other thing? You are now classified as a terrorist in America. I'd like to know how being a Christian is a terrorist. But I'm going to get my big ass.
I don't know how to get in their minds. My mind is scary enough.
I know. I mean, it's like, seriously? If you want to go with being a Trump supporter, being a conservative, whatever. But seriously, remembering 9/11 or celebrating Christmas or Easter or Passover, you're a terrorist? Yeah, sure. Okay. So, like I said, bring on Yellowstone. I'd rather deal with that shit. I'd rather deal with that shit than the possibility of what's about to happen. I really do. You know, they're, like we said, they're talking about another lockdown because of the Delta variant that doesn't exist. If all the conservatives, the red states, don't lock down, you know they're going to hit us with something else.
Oh, yeah, and Fauci will predict it beforehand like he does everything else.
Okay, yeah.
What an idiot.
The movie Pandemic.
People to fall for that. My God, I was just reading some of these comments on this one thing. And the Delta variant. Oh, there's another one coming out, and bam, there it is. And now another one's coming out. Oh, and bam, there it is. People are freaking stupid.
Hold on a second. Okay, the movie Pandemic that was made in 2009, and this is where I'm going with this, because of the Delta variant, it's not scaring us because it's a 0.08% death rate of anyone younger than 50. Okay. People are addicted to getting the COVID vaccine. People have lined up and have taken a third vaccine, of which you don't need. Okay. That movie Pandemic, it was a virus, a respiratory virus, but it turned into a hemorrhagic fever kind of thing, like Ebola, almost, where everything liquefies and all that horrible shit. That's next. I kid you not. Something like that's going to be next. If you can't scare, if they want to really, honest to God, depopulate the world by 95%, that's what they'll do. So, then yeah, I'll believe something like that. I'll definitely wear a mop suit or a gas mask and all of that shit. You're damn right I would, because you die. Or even necrotizing fasciitis is another thing that's highly contagious.
Oh, the way I look at it, I'm not afraid to die. I'm at peace with myself. If it's my time to go, it's my time to go. I'm not going to sit there and worry about it.
No, I know. I'm not either. I used to be. I'm not either. And there's no point in living in fear. I mean, be protective, common sense, you know, that's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, and there is no common sense. These people are idiots. That's the part I can't get over, is how stupid people are.
You know, I can't fathom the stupidity that's gotten so bad.
I know.
You know, it's like, wow, really? And it's so funny how hung up certain people get over certain things that have absolutely no consequence of what's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now I just had a brain fart. They're so worried about the January 6th bullshit thing that happened. Really? Why don't you worry about other things? Like not defunding the police. Taking care of real terrorists like Antifa. And dealing with that shit. But just, I mean, for everybody, just have common sense, stay safe, wash your hands, cover your mouth if you cough or sneeze, and don't be stupid. That's all I got. I'm going back to my apocalypse TV shows here, and I enjoy watching them because, you know, it's like, wow, that's next. Now that's a possibility. Now that's not going to work. That's how I get a lot of my shit, you know, whatever. But honestly, you know what's sad? Is a lot of TV shows and movies that was out a while ago, it's kind of funny how all of those shows have what's going on now.
Yeah, like what is it, The Simpsons or The Family Guy? A cartoon.
Well, not only that.
It's true.
That's scary shit right there. Movies like Contagion is a COVID virus, but it's also a hemorrhagic fever along with it. The CDC created it as a biological weapon. The CDC created, well, not CDC, but dipshit there, Dr. Fauci and his cronies created COVID back in 2003. I mean, and so it comes out in all these movies, epidemic, pandemic, contagion, I Am Legend. Well, that's a bad vaccine, so go figure. But you see what I'm saying? It's scary how a lot of these movies have all this information and nobody pays attention to it until now. I've just noticed in movies that I've rewatched, I'm like, holy shit. That's what's going on now. But there's no point in us trying to wake up people that don't want to be woke up. I'm not going to argue with the sheep anymore. If you're a liberal snowflake, screw you. I'm done. I'm not going to argue with you anymore. You're not going to listen. You know? No matter what proof you show somebody and they don't want to listen, forget it. Bury your head in the sand and stay there.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And it's like, people that sit on the fence about things, well, you better think long and hard. How long are you going to sit on that fence and wait? Little battery. I guess I'm done. Completely. My shit's about to die.
Are you sure?
Hold on, I got to plug. Yeah.
Are you positive? Hello.
Free beer.
Unmute me. I told you.
I did.
My battery died.
Yeah, I sure did.
No,
likely
I did.
Story.
Oh, plug it up.
She's the answer.
Yeah.
Huh? Oh, I dropped my phone. I said for Angie Hall Jr.
My dog's looking at me like, she loves my chair. I don't. It's not a recliner. It's just one of those big, wide chairs. I swear to God, the second I get up, that little heifer will jump on my feet. She don't sit on the couch. Well, sometimes she does. But we have our couch, and I have their crate, and I got a nice big cushions in there. And, oh, she won't sit there. She waits until I get up.
Of course.
And then if I don't get up, she will come and just sit there in front of me and stare at me. And I'm like, come on. And she'll jump up and sit behind me. Literally, she tries to put her whole body behind me and forces me to move.
Yep.
Little fucker. And now she just, it's funny because I'll be sound asleep. I swear to God, I have a queen-size bed and I sleep on the side, on the edge. I don't know why, but I got a whole bed and I can sleep in the middle. No, I don't. And she comes and jumps behind me. And she'll dig at the blanket, so she wants to get underneath it. And then Pat's dog, I swear to God, I give him like 6 inches, right? And he'll jump up there, and it makes the bed, the mattress sink down. I almost rolled right off the freaking bed. And I was sound dead asleep when he did that last night. And I'm like, I hate you, dogs. And they'll climb underneath the bed. And he rolls around and shakes the whole damn bed. Ugh. Damn, Cyrus. But, so Monday and Tuesday we'll go over that survival book that I got, the medicine. My Patriot, something or another. I can't think of what the last word is. My Patriot supplies or something. I got it off of Facebook. Anyway, and I ordered the survival medicine book. Well, there's also the herbal medicine, survival herbal medicine book. And then they have something else that would be interesting that you might want to look into if you want to, the potassium iodate pills in case of radiation, and also colloidal oil or colloidal something or other. It's a good antibacterial. It's drops. Antiviral, antifungal, all of that. And so I was looking into getting some of that stuff too. But they got a lot of interesting things on those websites. You know, also look into apothecary stores. They have a lot of this non-conventional herbs and stuff. So. Now I'm done. I know I keep saying that, but I'll think of something else to say. But I really am done now. I have nothing else.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. It's time for bed.
I had to do something. Not really. I have nothing else. Oh, excuse me.
Are you positive?
Yeah. Absolutely, positively. Absolutely, positively.
Yeah. All right, well, another great show, as usual.
No problem.
And so glad that we kept Lauren awake.
Glad you kept me awake. Good Lord.
It's Saturday. I can stay awake till 10 tonight. Ooh.
Woo-hoo. Ooh, throw a party.
I know. It's pretty sad.
But anyway.
And you get to our age.
Anywho, again, thank you for another great show. And Lorna, thanks for staying awake.
Thank you all very much.
Wisconsin, thank you for staying away.
Wisconsin.
You know what? We can't say much, Bobby. We can't say much because at least she stays on, and weather's dicking.
Yeah, this is true. This is very true.
Yeah. So.
Well, anyhow, thank you again, and God bless you guys, our troops, our kids, first responders, veterans, troops, again, because they're sending them back over there in harm's way.
Yeah.
And God bless the Defender 7. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.